Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
I've got one question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up this hour, we will play for you the best of my roast from my birthday weekend. Mraz took the podium and cleaned up, took down the house. Even the Bourbon Bell got into the shot-making category. So we will play for you the best of coming up here in about 15 minutes from now. And I highly encourage you to stick around to listen. As always, you can send us your tweets, DA on CBS, or send us your thoughts over the phone at 855-212-4227. That's a toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. Also, I've got a great story about Jack Del Rio having no idea his general manager was going to draft Blaine Gabbert. Classic Jaguars. But let's start with Kemba Walker, because the Boston Celtics have now apparently come to the conclusion, come to the reality that Kyrie Irving is not returning to Boston. Now, I think we all knew that. It sounded like perhaps Danny Ainge was holding out hope. Maybe there were some in Boston holding out hope, but it seemed like all along Kyrie was done, finito, walking out that door. And then we learned that Al Horford would be leaving as well. And it sounded like Terry Rozier could be on his way out also. So that leaves some space on that roster. It's certainly not like the Boston Celtics are no longer a competitive team, but if you are the Celtics and you want to compete in the East with the Bucks, perhaps the Sixers, perhaps the Raptors, perhaps the Nets, still perhaps the Knicks, if they're able to swing something in free agency, you're going to have to be better than you were last year, and that's not just in terms of chemistry. You can't lose Kyrie Irving and expect, with the rest of the East rising up, that you're going to be able to be one of the benchmark teams in the Eastern Conference. And so going out and turning your attention to Kemba Walker makes a lot of sense. It really does. I think, though, that there's going to be revisionist history here on Kyrie Irving v. Kemba Walker if this does end up happening. I mean, number one, you've got to convince Kemba Walker to leave $80 million on the table to not leave Charlotte if the Hornets are willing to give him the Supermax. Now, $80 million freaking dollars is a lot. And I don't care if they've never won a championship in Charlotte, if they haven't been to an NBA Finals, if they're barely a playoff team, Kemba Walker or any player leaving $80 million on the table for the quote-unquote right to play for the Boston Celtics, to me, is a ludicrous ask. You know, it's easy for us to play with other people's money. Oh, he shouldn't take the money. He should be about loyalty. He shouldn't take the money. He should be about winning. He shouldn't take the money. He should be about this or that. We do this to players all of the time. We tell them how to spend their money or where to get their money and how they should play and what they should prioritize. Well, you try leaving $80 million bucks on the table. You try leaving $40 million after taxes on the table. I'd like to see what scenario you would leave $80 million on the table. Now, these guys make a lot of cash. Their contracts are really big. And maybe the difference between 150 versus 230, maybe there are other factors. And you start saying, well, $150 million is a lot of money and it doesn't have to be just about money for me and I can look at other things. But first off, if the Hornets give Kemba the Supermax, I feel like it's crazy to expect him not to take it. I don't care what the winning culture is or whatnot. Number two, if the Hornets don't offer Kemba Walker the Supermax, I think that's also crazy. What else are they going to hang their hat on? Since Michael Jordan has owned that franchise, they have been an also-ran. They have been barely a playoff team. They have not been a contender. You have finally drafted a player who's an all-NBA type guy, who's a scorer, who's a leader, who's a competitor, who's an all-NBA player, and now you're going to say no thanks? Now you're going to say not interested because we don't want to go for the extra year because of what, his age or because you haven't won before? He's one of the guys you build around. So if the Hornets don't offer him the Supermax, I think that's a mistake. But then it comes down to if the Celtics can convince him to sign. Look, if the Celtics can do it, more power to him. Because Kemba's a really, really good player. And for a backcourt that obviously dealt with the inconsistencies of Kyrie Irving's leadership, and a guy that perhaps didn't want to be there or didn't know how to lead or didn't know how to fit in or didn't know how to sacrifice himself or his shots or his minutes, bringing in a guy that's got a winning pedigree from his college days and a guy that seemingly everybody loves to be around and a good teammate, there is a value there. Don't get me wrong. So if they're able to pull that off, more power to the Celtics, it would be a great addition. I could certainly not criticize that. But let's not act like Kemba Walker at his best is not Kyrie Irving at his best. Now, maybe you didn't get Kyrie at his best. And maybe worrying about if you can or what it takes to get him there is enough to sell on Kyrie. But Kyrie at his best is better than Kemba at his best. And if Kemba signs in Boston, there will be revisionist history here. Oh, yeah, Kemba's better. Oh, we don't want Kyrie anyway. He's not that good. That will be a lie. Because at their greatest potential, Kyrie Irving is superior to Kemba Walker. But there's one other point in this that I have to laugh about when it comes to the Celtics, and that is Danny Ainge's quote yesterday, which seemed to write the eulogy of Kyrie Irving leaving. And a pretty clear shot at Kyrie and maybe the problems that haunted the Celtics last year. Danny Ainge said, quote, "I think it just makes life more enjoyable when everybody is humble, hardworking, and will play any role they have to help the team succeed. You do have to have a certain amount of talent to win, as we all know, but good people makes coming to work more fun," end of quote. Danny Ainge is right. Humility, hard work, willing to sacrifice for the betterment of others, good people surrounding yourself with makes coming to work better, usually makes the team you're working within more successful, whether it's business, whether it's sports, whether it's family, what have you. But Danny Ainge should not be lecturing anybody on humility. He's the least humble general manager in professional sports. Danny Ainge loves himself some Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge does weekly radio spots throughout the season on Boston Sports Talk Radio. Danny Ainge, if you stick a microphone in his face, he's answered the question. And it's not usually, "Aw, shucks, I'm not that good at this job." It's usually touting his wares. Danny Ainge, going back to his time as a player, was a hated player in the NBA. Not because he was a nose down, grind it out, hard working guy that was humble and grounded and appreciative. No! Danny Ainge was hated because he was a loudmouth, arrogant SOB. Danny Ainge won't pull off a trade unless he wins it aggressively. And then he revels in the "how brilliant is Danny" wave. I mean, please, Ainge, don't lecture anybody about how great it is to make sure everybody's humble. Because you're the least humble guy I know in professional sports. By the way, a report now surfacing this morning, the New York Post has this, that the Brooklyn Nets are reportedly going to set forth a four-year, $141 million deal for Kyrie Irving upon free agency this weekend. That Sunday at 6 a.m. is when free agency begins. Reportedly, according to the New York Post, and this is just breaking this morning, the Nets are set to offer him a four-year, $141 million deal, and that likely Kyrie Irving will accept it. So then the next question is, can Kyrie get anybody else? Can Kyrie get DeAndre Jordan? Can Kyrie get Kevin Durant? Can Kyrie change the fortunes of the Brooklyn Nets? Because just Kyrie doesn't do that. D'Angelo Russell's pretty damn good. And maybe the Nets want both of them together. Maybe they don't. But swapping in Kyrie for D'Angelo Russell doesn't necessarily make the Brooklyn Nets all that much better in terms of this arms race in the Eastern Conference, as I mentioned before. Kyrie at his best, yeah, is better than D'Angelo Russell. But just that differential, just Kyrie over D'Angelo, does not make the Nets suddenly contenders. You would have to build other pieces around Kyrie or allow Kyrie to be the piece surrounding the others. Brian tweets, please don't be joking about breakdancing in the Olympics. I've already put on my bandana, Japan Rising Sun t-shirt, parachute pants, and neon fat laced Adidas. I got my cardboard out practicing. Hashtag Tokyo 2020. Hashtag here I come. It's Paris 2024. Don't worry about Tokyo 2020. Paris 2024 is where breakdancing, if it works, is going to end up being an Olympic sport. And if it is, I am so in. Not to compete, but to break it down every morning on this show. Dixieland Dan tweets, DA, I want to see poker become an Olympic sport, and you can only play with what your country's worth. Hashtag, or quote, wow, Greenland has gone all in with 10 pounds of fish and 2 tons of ice. Oh my God, Egypt has just matched with 5 tons of sand and 3 camels, and Antarctica is all in with 8 penguins. Dan, Antarctica is worth a lot more than 8 penguins. I'm not even sure there is. No, yeah, there are penguins in Antarctica. Are there penguins in the North Pole? No, I don't think so, right? One has polar bears, one has penguins. Is that how that works?
I thought the North Pole was fake.
And what do you mean by that?
I mean, like, it's because of Santa and everything like that. I mean, I don't want to go too far. There could be kids listening. But, yeah, the North Pole doesn't exist. There's a South Pole. That Antarctica is an actual continent. We only have 7 continents.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's not an actual continent, but I believe that the North Pole is an actual physical place.
It doesn't exist. What is the North Pole in Canada?
No, it's at the top of the Earth.
No, it's not near. It's just the water freezes by the top. It's not an actual North Pole. The North Pole is a fictional fairy tale land we've created. There is a South Pole. So, well, no, there's no opposites of polar bears and penguins. They're all in Antarctica.
What about the center of the Arctic Circle?
There's nothing there. It's just water that's sloshed over. It's like a giant slushy. There's no animals living up there.
If I'm not mistaken, polar bears and penguins do not live in the same place.
Of course they do. They live where it's cold.
Well, I don't think that's correct. I think that...
You think the North Pole's real?
I think polar bears are in the north. I think penguins are in the south.
There is a North Pole.
There is a North Pole.
Yes.
Now, you have this verification from where?
From multiple sites online.
Okay, there is a North Pole.
So the polar bears guard Santa's workshop? the elves are?
And can you tell me whether there are polar bears and penguins together?
Well, I'll tell you that it's where the Earth's axis of rotation meets its surface. That's the North Pole, and people can go there.
Oh, you can visit the North Pole. Okay, so thank you very much.
I'd love to see this airport that people can go there.
Just because there's not an airport that you think of like JFK or LaGuardia doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
How are you going to get there? You going to hike? It's in the middle of nowhere with water.
Yeah, there's things called boats.
That's how the Titanic sank. You guys are crazy. What did he look up? Fred Claus to know that the North Pole exists?
I like the idea that you called a fantasy land. Quickly, Pete the Body Bilotti has signs behind it. And you go, you guys are crazy. You're wrong. You're wrong.
Okay.
This is coming from the guy that didn't know Montana bordered Canada.
Yeah. Okay, it does.
When we come back, the best of my birthday roast, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Hey, duh. Great to be with you, man.
Yeah.
You've got some KC roots, duh. I'm curious if you still got people there. We're going to find out.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, I got people there. Thanks for being with us. Remember, you can always watch the best of the show at YouTube every single day. Clips of the DA show available on YouTube. So just go there and find CBS Sports Radio's channel. Or just search the DA show. You'll be able to find the best of rants and moments and clips every single day on YouTube. I've got a great Blaine Gabbert story for you. Jack Del Rio says he had no idea the Jaguars were going to take Blaine Gabbert. Now, he was the head coach at the time. And in an interview with ESPN 690 in Jacksonville, he recalled the 2011 NFL draft in the first round. Del Rio said, I had no idea we were going to draft Blaine Gabbert. No idea. In fact, I left to go get something to eat because our pick wasn't for much longer in the draft. I go, and then I'm sitting there filling my plate thinking, oh, great. We've got a couple more hours until we pick. Then I see the Jaguars are on the clock, and I'm like, what the blank is going on? I walk into the draft room and I could see it on the faces of the people in the room. They knew how uncomfortable that was, how wrong that was. Jaguars front office and former GM Gene Smith, take a bow. If Del Rio is to be believed, not only did you trade up for Blaine Gabbert, but you didn't tell your head coach you were trading up for Blaine Gabbert. Now, today we think of the Jaguars as legitimate contenders. Last year, of course, they got sideways, but the year before they were in the AFC Championship game, and they've got enough talent, especially now with Nick Foles, to be able to be a contender again, at least for the AFC South this season. But back then, 8 years ago, they were a joke. And a lot of that had to do with their front office and Gene Smith. How amazing is it that a couple of things like this happen? Number one, that they don't just order takeout on draft day. Why is Jack Del Rio leaving the draft room in the first round? It would seem to me that that's a kind of an important moment and date to be in the draft room, in the war room. So him just being like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go to Popeyes or something. Anybody need anything? Seems to be not ideal. He said he was sitting there filling his plate. Now, does that mean he was in the facility and they had a buffet? Because if he was in the facility and they didn't alert him, now this is a real problem. He would be in the facility. Just be like, hey, Jack, don't leave. We got something cooking here. Or, Jack, I know you're in the cafeteria. Can you come back to the war room? We're thinking about something here. If I'm not mistaken, in 2011, there were still 15 minutes in between picks. So there's a long time to get Jack Del Rio back in your room, back in the war room. I wonder if Gene Smith was just embarrassed. Like, look, I got a really good sense
on this kid, this Blaine Gabbert kid. I think he's going to be a stud. Nobody believes me. I'm not going to deal with it. So I'm just drafting him. I'm just going to let everybody leave the room, and then I'm going to draft him because I know what I'm doing here. Like, was he going, yeah, Jack, go get something to eat. You're fine. Yeah, go get something to eat. Nothing's going on here. Yeah, please. Yeah, we're not on the clock until like 4 hours from now. Jack Del Rio closed the door. Yes! Got to get on the phone. We got to make this trade. Got to move up. Del Rio then said, look, he wasn't a first rounder. He wasn't a guy to trade and go up to get. So that was not part of coaching. That was not part of me. This was my first indication that my time there in Jacksonville was running short. Hello! Now, it should be noted that luckily for the Jaguars, there weren't any good players on the board when they took Blaine Gabbert. I mean, that draft, who else was left? I mean, sure, the Jaguars traded up with Washington to grab Blaine Gabbert at 10. But it wasn't like they could have taken, three-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year and future Hall of Famer J.J. Watt. He wasn't on the board. Oh, wait, he went the pick after. It wasn't like they could have moved up to take Pro Bowl center Mike Pouncey. Oh, right, he went five picks later. It wasn't like former Defensive Player of the Year Robert Quinn was on the board. Oh, he was. Well, it wasn't like tight end Kyle Rudolph was still there. Oh, he was drafted in the second round? It wasn't like Randall Cobb or Justin Houston or DeMarco Murray was still available. Oh, they were. What about Jordan Cameron? Julius Thomas? Oh, they were too? How about corner out of Stanford, Richard Sherman? Oh, he was there too? That's tough. How about Jason Kelsey? Oh, yeah, he was on the board too. The Jaguars traded up for that guy and didn't tell their head coach.
I don't even have a job, Damian.
And neither does Gene Smith. So on Saturday night, the Bourbon Bell, she threw me a 40th birthday party, and while there were friends and family and food and drinks, and I had a great time, she made sure she cut down my ego very quickly by saying, just remember, you're not all that cool. We're going to have a roast of you as well. Oh, that's nice. So my best friends and family came together in the entire world, my best friends, and they decided to roast me, toast me, and rake me over the coals, because this is apparently what we do in my family. We just take shots at one another. No one can get too high on their horse because it's time to make fun of one another. So let's just start from the top where my wife, the Bourbon Belle, imitated the DA show.
Happy Saturday, everybody. From Brooklyn to Queens, from Warwick to Narragansett, from Kalamazoo to Waterloo, we are on the air.
Wow. Yeah, so interestingly, she added a Kalamazoo and Waterloo into my roast, so at least she's listening. So then it takes us to my good friend Mark Penzner, a.k.a. Penz, who's been a subject of the DA show on a side B of the PGP. He's done color commentary when I have done the Mr. Six flag football game on Facebook Live with Mraz's team, the Young Guns against the Small Blocks a couple of years ago. Penn's one of my good friends from college, and he had a pretty damn good line.
So anyway, Anthony, thanks for letting me speak. I can't imagine these 8 minutes are going to be any less entertaining than the average side via the permission granted podcast. Which is hosted by, by the way, hi, Mraz. Does Damon get to claim you as a dependent on his acting? So now that Damon's 40, you'd think you'd be getting some pressure on children, starting a family, but between Mraz, the body, Robbie Rosenhaus, Keller, Damon, you're basically running an orphanage for failed broadcasters.
You're basically running an orphanage for failed CBS broadcasters, I think was the line there. He also mentioned this is not going to be any worse than
side B of the PGP. So good to have that in there. So, but then Mraz took the podium, and really Mraz, he was the big star. Everybody really enjoyed his roast.
This roast is brought to you by Skillshare Snacks. So unfortunately, need the sponsor to shoot these next 3 minutes as DA has only put out about one Nomad in the last 4 months. Has anyone seen the arcade downstairs? There's an arcade downstairs. Between that and the pizza, the only thing separate of DA's 40th birthday from his 9th birthday is 12 canned Peroni and extra. Unfortunately, I don't see Andrew Catalan in the house. I was unaware the Bills and Jaguars played it.
There you have Mraz saying that I don't see Andrew Catalan in the house because apparently the Bills and Jaguars are playing today. So the audio is a little cloudy there. We'll get a better version of that audio for you. But Mraz killed it. Everybody killed it on this roast. And it was just nice to know that even my best friends and family couldn't wait to take shots at me on my very special day. That's how it rolls around here. Basically like a locker room, everybody killing one another constantly. When we come back here on the show, I've got the answer of whether polar bears and penguins live together. And we've got your best lines are your best stories of the day that did not make the cut with the cut line. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
He's going to kill these dudes in the slalom. The second guy out in the slalom put up a really good time, and they're like, geez, the course is at its best right now because the combined slalom is his worst event. He's better at the slalom than the giant slalom.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
40 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio, slaloming through another Wednesday morning here on CBS Sports Radio. And a good time to remind you that the DA Show has full episodes available in podcast form. If you ever missed anything or want to hear it again, we got you covered. Just simply search DA on CBS, and you'll find us on radio.com, Apple iTunes, and other places where podcasts are available. Just check us out and listen to us whenever you want. Or you can go to the website. If you don't do the podcast thing, that's okay. Just go to CBSSportsRadio.com. That's our network website, and just click on the DA Show tab. Dixie Landan tweets, see, this is why I like the summer shows. What's the biggest story on the show? Rockets and Jimmy Butler? Some other sports news? No. It's actually a place whether you can visit the North Pole. Can Mraz lose 100 pounds in 18 months? And DA gets roasted at his birthday party. Summers are awesome on the DA Show.
All right.
Now that's outrageous.
One of the great lines from Mraz in that roast was, yeah, did you see there was an arcade downstairs? An arcade's downstairs, yeah. Ski ball, too. So apparently the only thing different between this birthday and DA's 9th birthday is a case of Peronis on ice. He's not wrong.
I got a big laugh.
Not wrong. Let's get to your question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Vinny is in Louisiana, and he says, DA, what do you think about this Andre Iguodala story? Do you think that this shows that the Warriors don't know what they're doing when it comes to injuries? I think it's a pretty big deal because now it has a player on record confirming the worst fears about Kevin Durant. Andre Iguodala said he felt pressure and he was questioned about the severity of his injury and that the training staff at Golden State called it a bone bruise when he had a fracture in his leg and he was out last year in the Western Conference Finals. I think it's a big deal. I think it's a really big deal because Iguodala is a respected member of that Warriors dynasty. Iguodala's been a leader. Iguodala's hit big shots like he did this year. Iguodala's been an NBA Finals MVP. It's not like this is a guy that's been unhappy, somebody outside of the walls of the Warriors. It's not somebody in speculation. It's somebody that's been there and people respect. And he is saying there is validity to the KD was back too soon theory and that he felt that. As I said to open up the show, I think that the Warriors have always been under an immense amount of pressure to win immediately and do it as much as humanly possible because they didn't know how long the window was going to be open. Maybe it was fear that the ankles of Steph Curry wouldn't hold up. Maybe it was the fear that the Warriors kind of hit a sweet spot of the NBA's history with long-range shooting before everybody else caught up. Perhaps it was that moment that Kevin Durant signed, and it was the exact moment in time that the salary cap spiked, a one-time-only thing because the new television contract kicked in. But I think there is such intensity to win and win big and win championships right now, with a brand new arena on the horizon in San Francisco, not Oakland, that there's been a transformation of the Warriors franchise, that the ownership wanted to make them a premier franchise instead of an afterthought, and that there was going to be San Francisco, Silicon Valley, tech money pouring in, Chase Center, downtown San Francisco, cash. And they said, we've got to win big right now. And whatever else happens, who cares? And I think because of that, there may have been an urgency that you wouldn't see other places of players' health being compromised by faulty diagnoses and pressure within the organization. Hey, everybody else is playing through pain. Hey, other guys are playing through injuries. You should too. And Iguodala is saying it happened to me and it happened to KD. I think it's a big deal. Let's get to your cut line stories that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
How about the College World Series? We got some good stuff going on with the College World Series right now, including Vanderbilt and Kumar Rocker striking out 11 in 6 1/3 innings of 3-hit baseball. And Vandy gets to Michigan's bullpen in a 4-1 winning game 2 last night. And so now the Commodores, who were one of the best SEC teams ever in their regular season, have a winner-take-all game number 3. They stave it off to see a winner-take-all game number 3. And yeah, in the College World Series, this is not a game 7. It's not a best of 5 or a best of 7. It's a best of 3. So it's all on the line. No, remember, Rocker in the Super Regionals pitched a no-hitter against Duke the last time the Commodores faced elimination and then did it again. The guy is 6'4", 255. He is physically imposing and just was dealing strikes right from the outset. So an enormous effort by Rocker. Nice job by him. And Vandy survives for game 3.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Apparently, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, according to Bleacher Report, have met twice in recent weeks to discuss their desire to continue their careers on the same team. They had a friendship that was created when they played on the U.S. national team a couple of years ago, I believe, in the Olympics. So that's kind of interesting that KD and Kyrie have gotten together twice recently to discuss where they want to play. And if you believe that, if that report is true, then you've got to believe they're going to Brooklyn together. Or maybe they're going to New York together, but all signs have pointed to Kyrie going to Brooklyn. And if they really want to play together and they've met to do it, then they would likely do it in Brooklyn, which again would be an ultimate game changer in the entire atmosphere of the NBA if suddenly the Brooklyn Nets had Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Now, granted, no KD this upcoming season, but we're getting breaking news right now that Kevin Durant has declined his option to opt back into the Warriors. That was a $31 million deal. So those that thought that Kevin Durant might opt back in for $31 million to remain in Golden State and to basically get paid $31 million to rehab the Achilles, that is off the table. He must know that he's going to get max offers, multi-year deals, despite the injury, and he's going to take those deals. Doesn't mean he has to leave Golden State right now. They could offer him the most years and the most money, but right now he's not opting back in for that 1 year. So he's going to become an unrestricted free agent. And if he's meeting with Kyrie Irving, it would suggest that signs point to him joining the freaking Brooklyn Nets. Could you imagine that?
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And finally, the Mavericks are planning to offer Porzingis a 5-year max deal. That would be worth $158 million. He has not played since February of 2018, since tearing his ACL, and he's averaged 18 points and 7 rebounds, 2 blocks a game. I don't think this is a surprise at all. I think that the Mavericks traded for Porzingis for this reason. They didn't trade for a healthy Porzingis. They traded for an injured Porzingis last year. And they had, in my mind, every intention of signing him to a max deal, teaming him with Luka Doncic, and then having those two guys roll for a long time. Porzingis is, what, 25 years old, and Doncic is going to be 21 years old. Knowing the success they had with the greatest international player ever in Dirk Nowitzki, Doncic, Porzingis, and it also sounds like they're trying to get in on Kemba Walker. Doncic, Porzingis, and Kemba would be a beast of a team, let's face it. But the Mavericks always seem to strike out in free agency. So the fact that they have Porzingis, you knew they were going to sign him to a max deal. That's not a surprise to me.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
That's your cut line. Your toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Earlier in the hour, Mraz questioned whether the North Pole existed. It does. He said it was a fantasy land. It's not. I said, I believe polar bears and penguins do not live anywhere close to one another. He said, you're crazy. They both live in the same place, Antarctica. Here is an article from BBC.com about Earth. Polar bears live in the Arctic, near the North Pole. Penguins live on Antarctica and the neighboring continents near the South Pole. They are literally a full world apart. Do not unite them in fiction just because they look cute together. That's a direct quote from BBC.com. Yep, more evidence. You're a moron.
I love how there's an Arctic and an Antarctica, as if nobody could get confused or tripped up over that. Please.
That's not the question. The question is, why did you believe?
Why did you believe the BBC's article about fiction lands? I've seen Frozen.
Mm-hmm. Mraz gets his science from Disney cartoons.
Why would you believe the BBC?
Ice Age.
Okay. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, whether breakdancing should be in the Olympics.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
You're dancing against one another. It's no different than any other competitive judged dance or competition like this.
Yeah, I want a winner or a loser. These are the Olympic Games. That's not a game.
Ice dancing is breakdancing on ice.
But you're on skates. You know the ability that takes. So, I could get out there and breakdance. Maybe not great.
I'm your food fan. That's what I am.
But yeah, now, you think?
Like, who's going to determine who should go represent the USA in breakdancing? There's probably a million people ahead of Lily Flanagan's on a Friday night who could compete.
How do
now
you
suddenly it's a sport where you sign our kids up for Little League breakdancing?
How do you?
Come on, let's boogie!
Breakdancing is something you do when you have too much to drink and you get out on the dance floor and you just want to have some fun.
That's what you do is the white rerun.
No, well, look, it's my point is that's not something you do for sport. That's not a sport.
What, we're going to go Google Gaga?
Everybody's fat uncle at a wedding gets out there, can bust a groove and do the boogie. I mean, come on.
Do the boogie.
And a boogie, oogie, oogie, till you just can't boogie no more.
I love the nightlife, and I like to boogie.
Just can't boogie no more.
You would break a sweat breakdancing, and you would...
I've sweated at a wedding, sure. So now, okay. So anything that involves breaking a sweat now is deserving of Olympic sport.
How is
you know what? Let's go shovel. Let's see who the best shoveler is.
Well, that's curling.
No, that's not.
Yes,
curling,
it is.
You're not actually digging. You're sweeping.
Okay, so sweeping is different than shoveling.
Yeah. You know what? How about everybody, let's go put up a fence next week. The best putting up of a fence wins a gold medal because you're sweating doing that.
Are you going to throw a piece of cardboard down, start spinning around your head and doing actual breakdancing?
I'm not saying it's not impressive. I see the people in Times Square banging on the garbage cans, breakdancing all the time. Those guys are now suddenly going to win gold medals?
Super combined slalom.
Are you kidding me? Because why? Because they were good in front of a bubblegum shrimp?
But you think you're a breakdancer. No. You think we're all breakdancers.
Yeah, exactly.
And just like the lucky four of us are going to stumble into the Olympics.
I'm telling you, you will find a greater pool of people, I guess athletes, that could breakdance than any of these other sports. Show me the great biathlon guy around here. I can't. I could probably pick five people out here who could do a decent breakdance.
Right. So then breakdancing should be in the Olympics.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Trevor in Bomb City asks, D.A., how do magnets work if there's no North Pole, Professor Mraz? Team NC tweets, I love it when we're listening to the D.A. show and Mraz goes down his rabbit holes to form another 12 D.A. of Christmas. Hashtag no North Pole, just a South Pole. Callie tweets, the Earth is a magnet. The North Pole has always existed and always will. Tom tweets, honestly, D.A., is Mraz really this dumb? Hashtag North Pole is real. Yeah, and the world is round, just in case there was any doubt about that with Mraz. Rob tweets, Mraz cannot be this stupid. He can't. Not the father-to-be. Rob, you don't know Mraz. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the D.A. show, that thought that polar bears and penguins lived together and that there was no North Pole. It was a fantasy land. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com on the simulcast. Andrew Bogus on your headlines. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.